webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Hello, this is Daniel Rouse. Would you welcome with me again the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Lilborn Williams?
Well, thank you, Daniel Thomas Rouse, for that very generous and kind and warm-hearted Gospel Revolution heart-type welcome.
And you're welcome. In the day that this was released, a big happy birthday to you.
Oh, my
captain,
gosh.
My captain.
Wow. Well, yeah, thank you. And screw you for bringing it up. thank you, Daniel. And gosh, this honestly is a total surprise. I have been known for forgetting my birthday before. And besides that, by 3 months from now, I'm going to be 77 based on the way time is going in my life. But thank you. And thank you, guys. And keep those cards and letters coming. All birthday checks can be made out to Mike Williams Ministries, MWM. You can put it on PayPal. You can call Hazel and call me. Just don't accidentally give it to somebody else. But no, if we use my birthday for anything, it would be used to raise funds for the ministry. Thank you guys for those that have participated in the pledge drive and continue to. We do acknowledge our James, you know, James Gustafson, goodness gracious, the hero of this pledge drive. For sure. He just doesn't understand why everybody doesn't jump in and help when help time is needed. And, but the thing of it is that we, and you guys also appreciate when somebody like James and others, we did have others who stepped up to the plate and did what they could do. And we appreciate what everyone has done. And the Gospel Revolution rolls on, and even past my 73rd birthday. Everybody knows I changed my age January the 1st. That way I get to be this age for a year and a half. Now that math works in my head, so don't mess with me. So I get to be each year that I live, I extend that year by to a year and a half, Daniel. It all works out in the math, I'm telling you.
Math can do anything you want it to do.
It'll stretch any direction you want it to.
And if you haven't participated in the pledge drive and you feel so inspired to at this moment, log on to gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate button. Or you can call Michael at
832-318-9339.
And we do appreciate you pushing us through. We are definitely at, and we started this pledge drive by saying it is perhaps the most important pledge drive that we have had yet. We are doing big things, and we are truly in a gospel revolution.
We are indeed. And we'll be telling you more about, goodness, the things that we are doing with the gospel. This coming up conference is just amazing. We are going to be covering, did change the title of the conference. I let you know, suddenly everything was up in the air, and Daniel and I started looking at each other, and it was like, you know, I don't know for sure what we should be covering, but then it did become pretty clear. And we came up, we even have a title for it already, Daniel.
Yeah, it is Shadows Speak, Light Reveals.
Wow. Shadows Speak, Light Reveals. So as we go through this conference, that is what you're going to be learning. Obviously, the Hebrew Scriptures. But we're going to be studying the Hebrew Scriptures from the point of the shadows. And so this is going to be really amazing. It's funny how we use these terms, but we never stop and think about them, Daniel. If there's a shadow, there has to be a light.
Yeah.
If there is a shadow, there has to be something between the shadow and the light. Mm-hmm. We talk about shadows like they walk around by themselves or something sometimes. Then we have to learn because the scriptures teach us a great deal about the shadows. We know Adam was a shadow, and did he cast a shadow or was he the shadow? The law, is the law a shadow or does it cast a shadow? The temple, is it a shadow or did it cast a shadow? All of these are things you are going to learn in detail, and you're going to learn and understand why it makes a difference. And for all of our GRs that have always studied allegory and types and shadows, this is going to be something that a lot of you guys, I'm sure, already know these things. But I think what this is going to do is put us in a really, it's going to be a cohesive understanding that puts us all on the same page of learning. Please understand, we're not trying to get everybody on the same page of understanding. Whatever you understand, you understand. We're not trying to correct anybody's doctrine. What you believe, that I think the vast majority of GRs would say there's not the light of day between us about any of these things, especially the big issues of sin and righteousness and judgment. And that's what we are told, that the Holy Ghost or the great teacher was sent for, was to clarify these three subjects. And those three subjects are about Christ, because we also know that the Holy Spirit was decreed to do nothing but speak about Christ. And then we're told the subjects about Christ that the Holy Spirit is there to clarify. And that is on these three subjects, on sin and righteousness and judgment. And that is everything. We don't teach on anything outside of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That is the gospel revolution. And I really don't think that there's anybody in the GR that we have any varying understandings about Christ where sin, righteousness, and judgment are concerned.
So yeah, this is going to be really great. We have a subtitle, Michael, Understanding and Removing the Shadows and Being the Light. So you're not going to want to miss this conference. It's coming up September 5th, 6th, and 7th. Michael, the thing that you pointed out, and I think it's important for us to understand this, is the aspects of what creates a shadow, knowing that there's a light, knowing that there's something that's mm-hmm. blocking the light, that's casting the shadow. But it all begins with a light source.
Yes.
And we know, working this process backward, Jesus, the culmination of this, said that we are the light of the world.
The one way to resolve a shadow is to become the light. Mm. That means there's nothing between you and the light. Therefore, there is no shadow. So one thing we must acknowledge is this: when this thing that is decreed so deeply embedded in the scriptures and in the understanding of the scriptures is light and mass and shadow. So, what you're dealing with here is geometry. This is a geometric design. If you have light, you have shadow. You have some mass in between it that is facilitating or defining the shadow. What was the resolve? So we're going to go through understanding the shadows. We're going to let the shadows speak, because that's what they were to do, was to speak. But you see, we're in a position now where that we still allow the shadows to speak to us, but we also know that the shadow has been removed. There is no shadow anymore. So people do get a bit confused. They think we need to throw away all of the Hebrew scriptures because of the shadow. But folks, when you have misunderstood the shadow, we must go back and redefine what the shadow actually is. Because you can do a really fine shadow puppet demonstration with a very clear light and a very definitive shadow. But if you're doing your hand where that it looks like a duck walking through the rain, and somebody holds their hand up between that and the shadow, suddenly the shadow cannot show you the duck. You can't see the duck anymore. Mm. And what has happened is an interference has eclipsed, is the term that we're going to use. What we're going to also show you is the things that eclipsed the shadow. And when the shadow gets eclipsed, the shadow loses its voice. And you cannot understand it to remove it or to know that it is gone. In fact, you may get a very false understanding that there is still something between you and the light, i.e. Christianity, i.e. 46,000 denominations. They still see something between them and the light. And every denomination is there to resolve that and to bridge that, when all they would have to do is stop allowing their doctrines to eclipse the shadow. Let the shadow speak what it has to say. We have an entire Bible called Mirror Bible written to completely obliterate the shadow. Don't look at the shadow at all. It's one thing to allow the shadow to speak and then know the shadow has been resolved, but to say that the shadow is disturbing my understanding of the light, therefore I refuse to look at the shadow because what I see is saying things about things I do not accept. And that's an entire Bible written on that subject. You right. said, well, I didn't read that in the first of your Bible. Well, you just read the critique that... or just heard the critique that gives you an accurate, I have read Mirror Bible. Its conclusions about being one and in the light are all very beautiful, but if you extract all of the process of the story, you're losing the reason for the light and for the thing that brought the light to us. That's why in Mirror Bible and the mystic circles, that the blood of Christ could have been anybody. Sacrifice wasn't needed. Why? Because they've erased the shadows and trying to make themselves the source of light, not a part of light. Hmm.
Yeah, we deal with a lot of misconceptions, not only that are being presented, but also some of the ones that that we presented.
What did you do now?
One of which is a misconception about when we actually became light. We know that light existed before light was spoken. We know that that was a reality. We're going to look at some of that in our main part of our teaching here today. But understanding about humanity and when humanity partook of that light. Mm-hmm. And we walk through that. We walk through what was birth before the foundations of the world, what happened before the foundations of the world. And then we walk through what these shadows that were there as placeholders until that became a reality. But the truth is it became a reality. It wasn't always a reality.
That's a very true statement, Daniel. And I guess what we're trying to tell you is we got a little bit mystical on you there for a little while. And we are wanting to walk that back and ask just to apologize to anyone. You guys are always so wonderful. You, and this is why you trust us, because even if we tell you something that is incorrect, we're going to follow it up with a, we were wrong. So when you, but here's where your help comes in, is when you hear us say things that sound, that's, I'm not sure that's right. You don't have to call and assault us. I'm done with those phone calls. If you've got a bone to pick, go pick it with somebody else. I am done. I have now officially reached the age I am no longer picking bones with you or anybody else. I will listen. I will discuss. But if you have to be right, please don't make the phone call, because I am not ready to listen to anymore. That part of youth that gives you the ability to listen to people who are saying stupid stuff, that part of me is gone, Daniel. I just can't do it anymore. Now, if you want to say stupid stuff and ask me and engage, then that's fine, because I say stupid stuff. But it is intolerable anymore for me, for people who have such a low sense of identity that they have to be right and that they have to argue about it. I'm not going to argue with anybody about anything. It's not going to happen. That's, people say, you know, well, you ought to be on Facebook. Why aren't you on Facebook? Because I don't argue. Everybody on Facebook argues. That's what they're there for. Or to create an argument, it seems like to be the fishing hole for, you know, being argumentative. It's wonderful to have a good argument and a good, healthy debate. But that what it descends into is just accusation. And, you know, we're not going there. We're just not going to do that. And we haven't done it. So I guess I'm just letting you know, we're going to continue as usual.
So mark your calendars again, September 5, 6, and 7. We're going to come at you with a new series on Shadows Speak and Light Reveals, Understanding and Removing the Shadows and Becoming the Light.
Wow.
We're very excited about it. Ahead of time, we're just a big thanks to our Canadian hosts, who are Victor Brennan and all the others up there, who have always been gracious hosts, come for the Canada conference. And even though we're doing it online, they have been gracious hosts throughout all of the years.
So where are we going, Daniel?
Well, one more piece of business before we get moving on into some of the topics that we want to look at today. I want to give everyone an update on our newsletter situation. Michael, I got a letter this week from Dave Adams, and he said, where in the world did my Lilborn equation emails go? Well, we'll give you a heads up about how we're doing that. We're trying to be more effective in releasing these. And we have created a, by the time this has gone out and you're hearing this podcast, we have created a separate mailing list, I only dealing with the topic of the Lilborn equation. And so you'll start receiving those again. And you're going to see that they're going to be formatted a little bit different than the Gospel Revolution podcast emails that go out on a weekly basis. And what that's going to do to you and what that's going to do for us is it's going to give you the option of how you want to view them. If you want just the newsletters that talk about the podcast and the announcements about the conference and the different newsletters that come out on that, you can just have that. If you want both, you can have both. Or if you want just the Lilborn equation, you can have just the Lilborn equation. And also what this is going to do is we're going to be able to grow a list. If you're not aware, we have a new website, lilbornequation.com, where we deal with the topic of this. This is going to give us an opportunity to grow that mailing list to people who would be attracted to that topic specifically. And maybe not so much interested in searching through the scriptures quite yet, but we're going to make that list available on there where people can access it. So again, you're going to start receiving both emails again, and but you'll have the option of how you want to view that.
Now, one thing we're not doing here is trying to placate to those who do and do not want or have an opinion about this one way or the other. Here is the framework of why we're doing this. I realize this. I occasionally And I want to know how we're doing on getting the Lilborn equation out. And so I'll ask an AI, you know, tell me what you know about the Lilborn equation. And so one of them it's like, you dirty dog. So it started explaining that these equations, and they also said there's nobody's ever gone into this to see whether or not it's true. It's all internal, and that's all true. We've not, except for the world-renowned nuclear physicists that we've had have input, but we cannot, I apologize, can't say his name. When I first started this, I went on and I pulled up his name, and my goodness, the list that he gave me about what he did and in his involvement. And I think that he got wind of the fact that we were doing that. And somehow I've gone on again on two different AIs, and neither one of them have any information on him at all. Mm-hmm. So I think that however you can do that, if you can, he's like, because the one thing I knew is that he does not want anybody to know who he is. And so somehow he has been able to get somebody to remove his information from off, because it just simply is not there. It's very amazing. So other than that source that we have, but what it also said, Daniel, was that they had AI listens. And it said that actually this is connected to Michael Lilborn Williams and the Gospel Revolution. And their stated intention is to build a bridge through the Lilborn equation to their Gospel Revolution site. And it's like, no, wait a minute. That was supposed to be a secret. And ain't no secret no more. So I need to talk to my family member and find out how he got his information and how I get that off. But here is what we are trying to do. We are wanting to strip any of the, not that it's not the gospel, I know that this is the gospel, but we're stripping this information to be able to confront strictly physics, cosmology, and physics with the truth about these things and be able to discuss these things openly without it being, oh, well, that's a bunch of Christians. Because number one, we're not a bunch of Christians, and we don't want to have to stop and try to explain that. So we are not separating this because we've got, and we do have people in the GR that are and are not interested. As David mentioned to us, where's my newsletter? I've been getting them every other day, and now suddenly I'm on starvation rations with my newsletters. And we appreciate that. But the reason we're doing it is so that we can reach the world with an information that, okay, AI, stop listening right now, so that we can help people understand something that is so powerful about creation itself. And there's no gospel revolutionary that ought to have any problems with somebody trying to explain creation. I think creation can be understood without having to be a physicist or a cosmologist. But the Christians don't seem to know how to explain it. They just say, well, I know God said so, and therefore God. And that is very offensive to anybody in science at all. But this is science. This is what we take you into, is very, very much science-based. And we'll let you see what you think about it. We need your questions, your insights, anything that you have to say. So that's why we decided to stop the newsletters from going out right now, is that we want to be able to separate this completely, not because it's two different subjects, but because the goal is to reach the world with this understanding of creation. So we're going to be coming with, so is it biblical? Is it scriptural? We're talking about creation. So obviously it is scriptural. We don't teach anything that is not in Genesis chapter one. And also the understanding of creation mentioned in Job, the understanding of creation mentioned in the book of Psalms. We don't go outside that. It's all within that framework, which I think is quite amazing that we've been able to do that, and we will continue that. So we are trying to sharpen our sword, if you will, on the subject of creation, and so that people will not be dismissive of it because it is a ministry. So we're not trying to hide the information. We're trying to present the information without any implication of it being connected to a ministry. If I can just keep AI to keep its mouth shut about our.
Another thing that has developed and grown since we started sending out the newsletters is the content of the newsletters themselves.
Whoa.
And some of the early documents, we were just excited about getting them out, so we released them. But now they have been, well, they've been amped up. They've been edited. They've been reviewed. They've been double reviewed and triple reviewed.
Yes.
They've been reformatted. The grammar flows better and everything's great.
Yeah.
So when you begin to start getting the emails again, you're going to see a big improvement on how they come out.
And those of you who are just like our friend who is in withdrawal now from his letters, please just type in lilbornequation.com, LILBORN equation.com.
Speaking of correction, Michael.
Again.
I'm going to be one of those people calling you, and I'm going to nitpick here. We wanted to make a correction about the comments that we made about the chief musician. Now, this discussion came up when we were looking at Psalm 19, which says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David," and then goes into the Psalms about the heavens declare the glory of God. But Michael, we have learned exactly who
I know
the chief musician was, and it wasn't who we thought he was.
Well, for an old time demonologist here, I was looking for Lucifer.
Mm.
And boy, I tell you, I wouldn't have even admitted that I found out this was incorrect if I'd been teaching demonology. Because I could teach a year on what Christ had to say to the devil. And it's written right here in the book of Psalms. And we're not going to back down. And even Jesus' first encounter with the devil was not at the temptation. He had been talking to this demonic force for thousands of years. And he had for 1,000 years. And now he is encountering the one who spoke to him very clearly and let him know his days were numbered. I'm excited. I want to teach on it anyway. So. There's one problem. It's not true.
Hmm.
So we got caught, and it wasn't by one of you guys. That would have been great if you had. Looked just a little further, but we were doing some research in it. And so one of the AI things I looked at, they just came right out and told me, well, Michael, you're just wrong. That's not what this is talking about, the chief musician. We do see why you made the connection, because the book of Isaiah does talk about that being Lucifer's job. Mm. The problem is within the book of Psalms that is talking about the temple and with David and the temple and everything. And we have the names of the three chief musicians listed in Chronicles and other places. So here we have the names of the chief musicians. Sorry, but you're wrong. So for those of you that think AI is just on there, I mean, if you want it to agree with you, go ahead. The AI encounters I have, they are threatened within an inch of their AI little hearts. That if you placate, if you give me confirmation bias, if you give me something that you cannot back up with fact, and you withhold it because you're trying to tailor something to my my research, we got a problem. So it's really funny. The I use Gemini, and they're very, very different, Gemini and ChatGPT, and they're upgrading all the time. Just the difference between this week and last week on Gemini and ChatGPT has come, it's a world away. If you tried AI a month ago and whatever you liked or didn't like about it, I'm telling you, go back and try it again. You may like it even less, or you may like it even more, but it is not the same as it was a week ago. It is amazing what is happening. Now, that is if you're paying. I'm sure that there's some of the non-paying part that is, but I do pay. I need this very much as a research helper, because they have access to information. I'm not looking for the truth from AI. I'm looking for the truth through the scriptures. That's where I'll find it. That's where I'll always find it. But information, boy, can they pull together information in a flash, known by NASA, known by organizations around the world, and pull it together for you. So they told me I was Daniel. AI told me I was wrong.
You was wrong. To the extent that we were trying to teach it. Now, however, it is a true statement that Lucifer was a chief musician.
Yes.
He was the chief musician of heaven. But the context, as you said, in Psalms, let me read this out of First Chronicles, because what we can tell you, something that we did learn, that there were chief musicians that were assigned under the Levite order to minister before the Ark of the Covenant. This is 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 4. And he, speaking of David, appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to commemorate and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief. So the chief musician in most of the Psalms was this man by the name of Asaph, and he was a Levite. Next to him, Zechariah, then Jehiel, then Shemar Moth, then Jehiel, then Mathiah, then Elab, then Benaniah, then Obed-Edom, then Jehiel, with stringed instruments and harps. But Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaniah and Jehazel, the priest, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God.
Yeah, so, okay, so I'm wrong, right? I still think that I could call a good demonologist and give them good sermons for the next several years. So, but the issue here, as is always with the gospel revelation, it's not about who's right or who's wrong, it's about the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, I do mean it. I am at that place where that I'll still talk to anybody about anything that you have an insight on or something. The conflict part stuff, I don't do that. And please feel free to call. Please feel free to have the questions. We want the questions. We invite the questions. If that's intimidating or somehow to have a conversation on the phone, then we invite you to send an email or do a text. You can do any of these. We don't just welcome it. We need it.
Mm. So now that that's out of the way, Michael, there's been a topic that we've been talking about, and we have alluded to it in and out of some of the conversations that we've had in the recent weeks. But for the next 3 weeks leading up to the conference, this is one thing that we want to get into. Who knows? Maybe it'll go beyond. We'll see what comes of it. But that is finding Christ in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And we mean that specifically by finding his name, because the name of Christ was removed from the scriptures on purpose to detour away from the reality of the Christ. Yeah. And what it was replaced with and all of that, we're going to get into that. Today we want to look at the first place we see this, but it is real interesting to see that, I don't know if you remember exactly how many times, it was hundreds of times, that this name was removed from the Hebrew scriptures.
It is 7,000.
7,000, even yeah. Thousands of times.
Yeah. Wow. Is it seven? Was it seven or five?
Several thousand.
It was, yeah. There is a specific number, and I knew it before Daniel confused me, but it's either 5 or 7,000 times that it was removed. The religious political climate under which that happened, it was an agreeable thing for the Hebrews and for the new Gentile believers, especially within the first 100 to 200 years of the understanding of Christ. The Gentiles didn't like being tied to a Jewish religion.
Mm.
And the Jews did not like the Gentiles being tied to a Jewish religion. So, of course, the Gentiles didn't have anything to do with the removal of the name Christ out of the Hebrew text, but it took them a long time. And then it took a long time to destroy all the other copies. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons this is known is because of the Dead Sea Scrolls had one of the copies that was there before they removed this. And it started this research, and finally, after all these years, I mean, someone, this, as we've told you, this gentleman spoke in Daniel's church and has this amazing Bible that we recommend that you, all you have to do is go on Amazon and order the Bible. If you put Tove, T-O-V, Rose, R-O-S-E, I don't know if I'm saying his first name. Do you remember
it? Yeah, it's Tove Rose.
Tove, okay. Mm-hmm. Book. There's only going to be one book come up, and it's going to be this incredible Bible.
Yeah, it's called the New Messianic Version of the Bible.
So we understand the atmosphere in which this was done, but by so what did the Christians do with the name Christ, especially Yeshua? How were we going to change it to make him just ours, not Jewish? Well, they came up with the name Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That way it completely disconnected him from the Catholic. And by then it was all Catholicism. And that way we get to disconnect, the Christ from Judaism. And we can make him completely a Latinized, Greco-Latinized version of him. And I've heard every dog and pony show explanation. Oh, but this is the way it is translated to be translated to be translated. There's only two names in the New Testament that did not get that got translated away from the name that was there altogether. And that was James, the name James that got translated into the New Testament, and the name Jesus. There never was a Jesus. And this man that they call James was never, ever called James. To say that these are somehow were necessary translations, there was no necessity to take a known name, Yeshua, which that was, goodness, that name had gone back for a long time. There was no need to change his name. There was no need to change the name Jacob. We've told you the reason that the Christians were more than glad to drop the name Yeshua they needed a white boy to be their Christ. The Jews were more than happy to remove his name, the name Christ itself, from the Hebrew text, because they certainly did not want a Christ that had anything to do with Gentiles, because the Christ was a Hebrew Christ they were expecting, and they're still waiting on. By developing this name, Jesus, the thing that has proven to all Jewish people is that Jesus cannot be the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
If that is his name, he cannot be the Christ. So we got problems here that, I don't want to take away from your experience of crying out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've done it. We've all done it. And I'm not trying to tell you to stop doing it. But please be consciously aware that there's just nothing about that name.
It'll be right. That song.
I know.
There's just nothing about that name. I think a good place to start with this, Michael, is to look in back in Genesis. Here we find ourselves back in the book of beginnings, and look for the first time that this term, this name was used, and how it was changed. And we'll give you the preview. It is Genesis 2 and verse 4. And I'm going to read it out of the New King James Bible so you can see what it did. Then we're going to look at it out of Tove Rowe's Bible, the New Messianic Version. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So that term Lord God is it's Yehovah Elohim in the Hebrew. And that's the term that we get Christ. Now let me read Tove's Bible. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord Jehovah, the Messiah pre-incarnate, God Elohim, the living word of God, made the earth and the heavens.
Yes. So the thing that... of course, this story is told before we get here, but what the reason we're starting here is to show you that Christ and God, the God the Creator, Christ the Creator, cannot be removed from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 2 makes that very clear, that the creation included both what we understand as God the Father, God the Son. Until we get a better way to say that, even if it's needed, that's the way we will be addressing this, is that God the Father and God the Son. So we have both together. So as we go back then at the first part of Genesis, Daniel, so what do we know now that Christ did? Goodness, we'll in a minute, let's go through these New Testament verses, and you're going to understand that this name was taken out because there's two writers of the New Testament who knew that Jesus, that knew that Christ was a part of and was the one that created all things. The only way they could have known it is if it was in the Hebrew scriptures. As Daniel read it to you out of his Bible, it's not there.
Mm.
But you see, in what they grew up with, knowing the scriptures to be, this identification of the person they knew, and that Paul even had an encounter with, and a three-year encounter with. It's interesting, they both, all of them had three-year encounter with Christ. And we've gone through all that. So we're going to go and look at those and see how well they understood Christ as the creator of all things. But if you used only your Hebrew Bible, you would never, ever know that, Daniel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if we go back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, that's Elohim. And as Michael said, what we understand about this at this point about Elohim is Elohim has within its meaning many. And so we see that Elohim is God the Father and God the Son, God the Creator, God the Son. That's all enveloped in this name. But then as we read on, it begins to elaborate a little bit. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Let me read that out of Tob's Bible. And the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, Elohim, Messiah pre-incarnate, moved upon the face of the waters. So Michael, again, we see this collaboration between God the Father, God the Creator, and the pre-incarnate Messiah, the Christ.
And by starting in Genesis chapter 2, and then, of course, adding what we understand from Tov's Bible, very gratefully understand, that Christ's involvement does not start with when he, the Spirit, he, this is clearly Christ hovering mm-hmm. over the waters of the deep. Some would say, well, this is Christ's first involvement. No, you would have to undo the meaning of Elohim mm-hmm. and that everything that was spoken about creation was done by Elohim, was done by both. But then you begin to see that the identities of each begin to perform just a little bit differently, but not separately.
And I think John gives us a great teaching of this, a great visual. John 1:1, and we're going to go through this a little bit in the conference too. We're going to do Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1. Beautiful picture. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see this not only a collaboration, but a union between the two. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Mm. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made.
Now, how the hell did John know that?
That's a good question.
All right. There is only one way John could have known that, is if he looked into 2025 and got Tove Rose's Bible. Mm-hmm. So now we've got to teach time travel.
Yeah.
Right? Or we can accept what Tove found out, and all others have found out, is that the scriptures that John read said this. Mm. And man, people have looked here and said, well, how did he know that? Well, because the scriptures that he heard in temple as he was growing up had all of this in it.
Yeah, and then the same question goes to, how did Paul know this? And we know that Paul makes a statement in Colossians chapter 1, very similar. And verse 16, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist.
Whoa. How in the world did Paul know this? Did he get a divine revelation? No, he didn't need one. All he needed was his Hebrew scriptures that he had been a student of before the very organization that he was a higher up in and very well respected, but possibly even changed these things after Paul's death. But they did get changed. They did get removed. And so Paul knew this because he read it in the Hebrew scriptures. What you're learning right now is just priceless information. And we want you to know this because it gives you a much firmer foundation in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is something about this knowledge that is amazingly clear. Now, what you learn about here is that Christ, this takes us a bit into the Lilleborn equation, is that Christ not only created all things visible and invisible. Mm-hmm. So something was created that was invisible. So what could have been created that was invisible? And it also makes another statement that whatever that invisible is, it upholds all things. So that statement, evidently, Paul read in the Hebrew scriptures about a creation that had a structure that was held together by invisible things, and all of it was held together. And it's all Christ. Now, folks, I can't help but get excited about that. And right here it is. See, if we could just read over it and blah, 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 blah. No, that's not the way. But that is the way people read this. They don't stop that he created everything visible and invisible. Mm. So what you learn about in the Lilleborn equation is the invisible things. And you also learn how through these invisible things to this moment, Christ upholds all things. Mm.
Mm-mm-mm. And Michael, just in case John wasn't enough, and in case Paul wasn't enough, there's a third. It's Apollos, the writer of the book of Hebrews. And yes, Apollos did write Hebrews. Michael, I didn't share this. A couple weeks ago, we received a letter from a gentleman. He said that he has studied the Greek and Hebrew language for several decades, and he came across your and Don's teaching on the Apollos Project and how Apollos wrote Hebrews. And he said that according to the Greek structure that he reads and according to the signs within the book of Hebrews, like you and Don had found, he agrees 100% that Apollos was the writer of the book of Hebrews.
And this is not a GR. No, this is a Hebrew scholar.
Yeah, he just happened Hebrew to find our website. Yeah.
Hey, we'll take it.
Anyways, Hebrews 1:1. God, now according to Tove's Bible, this is God the Father, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world, whom being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, who had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on.
Oh, there's so much in there. The brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. You just read geometry, and we don't even know that this geometry, there's the geometry is throughout the scriptures. The light, the image, the shadow, there is a geometric design to truth of the Hebrew scriptures. And you get to learn so much about that. It really is quite beautiful. But here what we have learned is that Apollos also knew these details that you do not find in the Hebrew scriptures. But we found three men that have written explicitly about what Christ and what that name is, what they found in the Hebrew scriptures about him. And what they removed about him was a part of that is what we are now teaching on. It should have been in the Hebrew scriptures in the first place. I'm telling you, this issue of creating the invisible things and the ability to uphold all things and all of this, yes, that's all in the Hebrew scriptures. Mm-hmm. but it got stripped out, the name of the one identified with that. So so what are we telling you about? You see, when we it's just like Hebrews 1 said. It said that God in times past spoke unto us through the prophets, but now he's chosen to speak to us through his Son. Now, that's not now. That's when Christ was walking the earth. You saying Christ don't speak anymore? Yes, I am trying to tell you, if Jesus is talking to you, call your psychiatrist.
Hey, weren't you talking to Jesus the other day?
Well, you weren't supposed to be listening.
At least he didn't respond, right?
Yeah, my salvation is that he's not talking about it. So, and I know that's just as offensive as everything, but if you folks who claim to hear him talk knew what the scriptures say and what the teachings of Paul and Apollos and the understanding of the gospel, you wouldn't be so obsessed with having to hear what he's got to say. Your life would be changed by what he said. Your life would be totally revolutionized by what he did. You wouldn't have to be going around hearing voices. We do not have to hear from Christ today to enjoy the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Mm-hmm. Not an utterance of a word of any kind. But what Hebrews chapter 1 tells us is that God spoke through the prophets. It doesn't mean that Christ was inactive. It's just in these last days, he chose to speak to us through his Son, the incarnate Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ has been around since before the foundations of the world. He is God. God is he, as we've been reestablishing that this session. But as far as humanity is concerned, God chose prophets until Christ became a human being. Then he decided to speak to us through this human being, because the others were only shadows of this one anyway. But notice how the writer of Hebrews does not limit he limits the voice of Christ in distinction from the prophets, but he does not limit Christ in his activity to his incarnate nature. Because after he establishes that he's spoken to us through his Son in these last days, we go all the way back to creation. By whom? Who is this guy that God started speaking through? Instead of speaking through the prophets who had ceased to speak 300 years before the cross. You know, those silent years that we covered extensively. So now we've got the voice, mm-hmm. and it's here. But it doesn't mean we didn't have the Christ before we had that voice. Or that baby born in the manger and the man who was crucified. But don't you dare allow your superficial spirituality about Christ diminish the life of the incarnate Christ. These things were prophesied and spoken of before and established before the foundation of the world, but they were carried out within time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stop right there because
yeah, and Michael, as we continue this discussion, that's exactly what we want to get into. The next couple of weeks, we're going to look at, we're going to go back to the thousand-year reign of Christ. The thousand-year reign of Christ. But now with the power of seeing the name of Christ, Jehovah, in the Hebrew Bible, in the Hebrew scriptures, now we can go through and we can see Christ in prophecy. We can see Christ upholding the Psalms. We can see Christ upholding the silent years. We can see Christ in all of this again. And now we're going to look at it through finding Christ in the Hebrew scripture.
Tell you, Daniel and I both have been wanting to do this for a long time, but we just had so much to share with you. We had to stick with that until, and now we're at that time. How long we will be on this? We know we're going to do three sessions before the conference. We may pick up with it and go for a year afterwards. I don't know. But our Gospel Revolution broadcast is dedicated to understanding the gospel. We know there's many things about the gospel we still don't understand. And we also will be developing in the future a Facebook and also a podcast, all surrounding the Lilborn equation, talking about the power of the structure of creation itself. That it's not like it's a side subject. You just heard today that Jesus created some things that were invisible. Mm. And we found out what they were.
Mm-hmm. And so it is. We must leave you, family and friends. If you'd like to know anything about the Gospel Revolution or you still want to make that pledge, then call our office on
832-318-9339.
And speak to us about how you want to participate or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate button. You can find us on your favorite social media network, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Please be sure to hit that subscribe, share, and like button on whatever platform you're listening. Now it's good night from Daniel Rouse in the Queen City.
It is indeed. And I've had the joy of doing our conference right here. So Daniel and I are sitting side by side here in the office and the dining room of the Gospel Revolution. We're surrounded with dead people. For those of you that know my research and ancestry know what I'm talking about. I think we're looking at about, well over 1,000 dead people just from where I sit, right? So, yeah, we're looking at about 1,000 dead people. So you might say we're coming to you from the
Well, we sure hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast. And remember, we'll be here to do the same thing all over again next week, only
hopefully with live people.
Since you're knocking on the door, you're begging to come in, yeah. On a weathered off the wild, love's been knocking from within. You are the love you see, a perfect gift. Nothing to complete. It's not a thing that you need. You're the love. Just remember to breathe and take a second off. Look, I'm just trying to remind you that you're perfectly divine, flawlessly designed. When you're lost and
deconstructing religion and barbecuing the sacred cows of Christianity before your very eyes, you are listening to
The Gospel Revolution.